Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
You'll end up finding that even in the early church, there was an opportunity for people to end up giving and being a part of a family.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
If you don't define terms in your own life related to really what you believe, because if you don't know really what you believe, you will fall for anything. Someone comes along and they're really nice and they're from this nice church and, you know, you like them. And they do a lot of nice things for you. And man, they even got the Bible and they got other writings, but it is not necessarily what people say. It's what they don't say that you have to be careful about. And that's why, and let me use this as a jumping off spot, and then I'll rapidly move through this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in the very end of the book, in verse 16, 17, and 18, and in a very punctuated, short, staccato style, Paul just clicks off, hey, rejoice, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything gives thanks. He says, don't quench the Spirit. Literally, very simply, respond to the prompting and conviction of the Spirit of God. And then notice what he says in verse 20 and 21. Despise not prophesying. Now, what does he mean by that? Very simply, he's saying, don't take lightly prophecies. And what is he talking about, prophecies? He's talking about the spoken revelation of God's Word. And when we have the Word of God completed, in what he is saying is, you don't take lightly the speaking of God's Word, which to us would be what? The Bible. Then he says, notice, he moves on, verse 21, prove all things. What does he mean by that? What's the word prove mean? Some of you would have the word to test all things. Why does he say that? To give a careful examination of everything, but especially in the context here, to prove all things. When someone is speaking the revelation of Jesus Christ, you need to make sure and prove that and test that. Is that accurate? Then he says, hold fast to that which is good. He's talking about the preaching and people opening up God's Word, that you would hold fast to that, you would embrace the good teachings of God's Word. If it doesn't match up with what is being stated, then you need to be careful of it and avoid it, shun it, don't go near it. And so, let me define ourselves very quickly because I think it's a helpful thing. The centerpiece is Christ. We happen to choose Harvest Baptist Church because Harvest is who we are, Baptist is what we practice, and church is how we function. What is a church? The very word church, ecclesia, means called out group. And very simply, what I mean by that, we have the first direct mention of the church, I think, stated in Matthew 16. In Matthew 18, we have another, the second. These two references form a pair. In chapter 16, we find the church in its universal aspect. In other words, it's invisible. But in chapter 18, we find the church in its local aspect when he's talking about how a church should function. I want to touch very simply on four reasons that a formal church membership, I think, is beneficial. First of all, there's a biblical reason. And what I mean by that, and that biblical reason, is that Christ is committed to the church. He's the one that drew the picture of a marriage, of husbands loving your wives, even as Christ loved the church. And as a dedicated groom is to his bride, so is a bride to her groom. We as well are submissive to the Lord. It's expressing our time and our talents and our commitment to Christ is evident to the church. There's a biblical reason. Number two, there was a cultural reason. It's an antidote to our society. Because listen, church membership used to be an act of conformity. Now it's a decision of commitment. We live in an age where few want to be committed to anything, a job, a marriage, even our own country. And this attitude has produced a generation of church shoppers and hoppers. Church membership swims against the current of America's own consumer religion. It's an unselfish decision. It's a commitment that always builds character. And you're going to find yourself in great difficulties at times, and I think there's a cultural reason for that. We understand that in different parts of our own economy. Number three, there's a very simple practical reason. Really, it defines who can be counted on. Every team must have a roster. Every family has family members. Every army has enlistment. Membership identifies our family, provides a fellowship that can support and encourage you in your walk with God. It places you under the spiritual protection of godly members. That's why Hebrews 10:24 says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. Why? Because you as a body needs that. You in a marriage needs that. You in a team needs that. And then lastly, number four, there's a personal reason. And very simply, it provides accountability. It produces spiritual growth. The New Testament places major emphasis on the need for Christians to be accountable to each other for spiritual growth. You cannot be accountable when you're not committed to any specific church family. And a Christian without a church is like a child without a family. We encourage believers in Christ to join a Christian family called a church. You've got to ask yourself the question, do you agree with every single thing? I doubt it. But there's got to be a place where you say, you know, as a church, it's benefiting us. And that's why when we start the new year as we have, I want to really, in essence, just kind of nail down and say, these are kind of the tent stakes, okay? And let me go along and let me hit these things because I want to tighten things down as we move forward in the year. And these individual commitments, these are four practical action points as our church members. You're not a church member, it's okay. Therefore, and I'll close with this. First of all, as a church member, this is what we're saying. Number one, saying, hey, listen, I'm going to protect the unity of my church by acting in love towards other members. We're really trying to protect the unity of the church by refusing to gossip, following the spiritual leadership. Now, listen, if you find a church that's trying to do it about control, there's a problem. If it's there trying to influence you for righteousness' sake, that's really what our desire is. Number two, we're saying, hey, listen, I'm going to share the responsibility of my church by inviting the unchurched to attend. We're warmly welcoming those who visit. We're tithing and giving regularly. I've had people say, well, you know what, it's about the tithe in the local church. Don't get hung up on that particular. I personally believe that all through Scripture, you will find the context of tithing. And I do think that in the Old Testament, that the actual tithe itself added up to about 23%. The New Testament does not negate it. Actually, the New Testament puts a greater opportunity for believers to give voluntarily, proportionately, regularly, and hilariously. If you're hilariously giving at 3%, I would wonder really where your burdens are. Now, if you're in a place to say, hey, you know what? God, everything I have is yours. Maybe be like Laterno, start a college, challenge the Lord as he said, you know, I think I'm going to give 10%. Then he said, you know, I think I'm going to give 15%. I'm going to start trying to give out God, give 20%. Started giving over 50% of his revenues through his business. Man, God bless him in a great way. Now, you say, Pastor, you suggest I give 50%. I'm not suggesting anything other than you make sure and be obedient to the Lord in your giving. If you're in a place where you have connected to A1 local church, then give towards that local church. You'll find people at Thessalonica that were not giving over here to Galatia. There was major offerings that came through that Paul said, listen, let's gather our offering together and give that to the needy people in Jerusalem, 1 Corinthians 9. But you'll find the local giving was localized to that church membership. Above and beyond that, if you have responsibilities that you want to give above and beyond that, wonderful. But be in a place to be supportive for that very reason, sharing in that responsibility. Number three, I'll serve in the ministry of my church by discovering my gifts, my talents, by being equipped to serve the Lord, by developing a servant's heart. Some of you are very gifted in just being kind and friendly to others, and you're a servant in a sense. You don't want to be out front of anybody, but man, there's plenty of things to do. Some of you say, you know, I just don't know. I don't know if I want to be that involved. My question would be, why not? Oh, I'm busy. Yeah, I know you're busy. But I'm going to tell you something. You find yourself in a place that you get involved. Get involved in Sunday school. Get involved in other activities. So be in a place to say, you know, if I'm going to protect, I'm going to share, I'm going to serve, and very simply, number four, I'm going to support the testimony of my church. Attending faithfully, living a godly life, praying for its growth, and you'll end up finding that even in the early church, there was an opportunity for people to end up giving and being a part of a family. It's a covenant. Fact is, we have a church covenant that we read about once, sometimes twice a year. Is what you're living for worthy of Jesus dying for? When you get to where you're headed, where will you be? Where are you headed? I like what one guy said, many of us are shoveling smoke and blowing water and plowing water. And when this world is over, much of what we have done will make no difference whatsoever. Reader's Digest reported a few years ago that in order for a person to have a meaningful life, he needs three things. First, he needs someone to love. Secondly, he needs something to do. And thirdly, He needs something to hope for. I think that little article in Reader's Digest was right, but the answer to all three of those is Jesus Christ. He's the one we love. He's the one we serve. He's the one to whom we hope for. And Jesus Christ is the only one worthy of my love, my life, my all, and yours. We're helping people to develop a heart for God. And that is going to come through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, my friend. If we miss pointing you to Christ and just to a church, then we've missed the very essence of what the Scriptures are teaching. And I am burdened as a pastor. I feel deeply responsible, as Paul did in Acts 20 when he preached one of his last documented messages. His first one was Acts 13, an evangelistic message to the Jews. His second one was Acts 17, an evangelistic message to the Gentiles. And his third message was an exhortation to Christians. And he said, listen, I am burdened for you because savage wolves are going to come in and tear you apart. And that's why I said, I didn't want to shun my responsibility to preach to you the whole counsel of God. What we're trying to do here is over a whole year, year by year, we sit down, and I sit down personally, I pray through God, what topics do we need to go through as our church this year? What do we need? Who can come in and help us and lift up our hands into our local body, be of a help, a blessing? Some of you have friends that need what we say here. They're kind to us as a pastor, but they'll listen to you as a friend. They'll watch your life around your neighborhood, around your work. We were responsible, able to teach you and train you and disciple you to move you forward to disciple others as well. I'm going to encourage you as personally, I'm motivated again this next year. Pray through God. Let me pray for one person that I can see come to Christ this year. That wouldn't be too much. You might want to pray for two. You got enough faith to pray for two, maybe three. We have folks in our church that come and go. We have folks in our church and members of our church that don't make it all the time. Are you burned enough to be able to go to them? Not judging them. Please don't go in that attitude. But go and just say, hey, I love you, care about you, missed you. Maybe legitimately things are happening. Maybe they went off island. Maybe there are some things in their life that, you know what, you as another brother or sister in Christ went to them and just say, you know what, I love you, care about you. Anything I can do to help you? You need to know as a pastor, I call. Hey, how you doing? Missed you. Oh, yeah, hey, you know, I'm going to be there next week. Well, you know why I honestly am calling? Because I care about you. That's why. But you know what makes a difference? When someone, a brother or sister in Christ, does that. We're a body, my friend. You say, yeah, but man, you don't know all the problems. You know this person, that person. Really? You're kidding. Is your body perfect? Is your physical body in the shape, the perfect shape you want it to be? Mine's not. Don't make any comments about that. You know what? It's amazing how lax we can be in our own evaluation of ourselves and how incredibly critical we can be of others. Hey, you know what? They don't need your criticism, my friend. They need you as a friend showing the love of Christ. Is our church body perfect? Absolutely not. I said it, and I'm going to say it again. You do not need to be perfect, my friend. You do need to be obedient. We all at different levels of our walk with Christ, our knowledge of the Lord. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not where I was, however. And every so often, it's a good thing to be reminded. This is not a museum. Our church is not a museum. If anything, it's a hospital. Hey, that's why the context of Scripture, a local assembly, a body, little Christians being like Christ.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.